today on Richard Ellis Talks.
If you are always learning, you just keep learning. And then if you're always studying the scriptures, you study, but you never come to the knowledge of the truth, something is not working. Because if you study the scriptures and the Holy Spirit lives in you, then you're going to come to the knowledge of the truth. You're going to get it at some point.
Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope and insight for you. And in today's broken world, that is something everyone is desperate to hear. Richard shares unapologetically the truth of the Bible in a way that's clear, relational, and uplifting. So thank you for taking this time to listen. We know it will bless you. And when you have a moment, you might want to check out our website so we can stay connected with you, richardellis.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is By Bull. I do a lot of, some of my study, I go to dictionaries and find words are intriguing to me. Well, if you look up the word Bible, especially in some urban dictionary sites, you get some very interesting definitions. And it's almost not a dictionary, but it's almost a place where you can kind of make up your own definition and blog, as it were, a definition of your own. I can't read you all of the ones I found. Here's a sampling under Bible. Rolling paper substitute. The thin pages of many Bibles can be used as rolling paper in emergency situations. Most books have a few blank pages at the end or in the beginning, and the Bible is no different. In a pinch, you can use a thin blank sheet of Bible page for makeshift rolling paper. Most hotels still have Bibles in their rooms. Since I was traveling, I had no zigzag, so I used a piece of Bible paper from the free Bible to roll the joint. Thank God. And you think, well, how could someone possibly get their head around violating the pages of Scripture? And then I say, how could you possibly get your head around violating the words on the pages of Scripture? So we're more shocked by someone rolling and smoking a sheet from the Bible than we are not doing what it says to do in our lives. Very fascinating. Here's another definition. A very poorly written, fallacious, self-contradictory book filled with falsehoods, absurdities, atrocities, and scientific impossibilities that was written by ignorant, primitive desert nomads from the Bronze Age. Can you believe that 2 billion members of the entire human species actually believe that the Bible is true? What's up with that? Say, well, where are these people? They're everywhere. And you might have been one of these people at some point in your life thinking this is nonsense. Now, I'm going to read you a few other quotes from some of these known people you might recognize. One of them is Robert Greene Ingersoll, a couple by him. It is said that from Mount Sinai, God gave, amid thunderings and lightnings, 10 commandments for the guidance of mankind, and yet among them is not found, thou shalt believe the Bible. He also said, it, in parentheses, the Bible, has lost power in the proportion that man has gained knowledge. So in other words, the smarter we get, the dumber the Bible seems to some people. Mark Twain, the Bible is a mass of fables and traditions, mere mythology. And then one last one, Aleister Crowley said, if one were to take the Bible seriously, one would go mad. But to take the Bible seriously, one must be already mad. So here we are, and I'm about to read out of this book. And you say, well, why would anybody trust this book? And what difference does it make? Well, let me just read you a few pages where it does make a lot of difference. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'll give you a minute to find it. The Bible actually says within it what it does for us, the benefits of the book. And we'll get to those in a second. You know, and I get it. If I were not a Christian and I were not interested in God and I, you know, just out there doing my thing, I don't think I'd want to read the Bible. Because part of what it does is it kind of hits you in the face. And if there are things that you're doing that are contrary to what even your conscience says you should be doing, and then you discover that even God has written a manual to say, here's kind of what you should and shouldn't be doing, you don't want to know that. You just kind of la-la-la your way through life and go, I don't want to think about that, and I want to do what I want to do. But when you go looking for answers, and there are a lot of us in this room and beyond who have gotten to the place where we said, I need some answers, I need to know what's going on, and once I figure out what, you know, how to get in a relationship with God, then how do I live? This is not a bad place to start, clearly. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and let's jump in at verse 1. And this is Paul writing, not to, you know, we're reading it, but he wrote this to Timothy. That's why this book is called Timothy, because Paul writes to this kid, this young man, and is teaching him, instructing him, and literally the letters that he writes to instruct this one guy become part of the Bible, and now we get to benefit from what he said to him. He said this, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come." And everybody since the beginning has thought that we are all in the last days. I wonder sometimes, are these the last days? They're probably my last days, the older I get. But like, are these the last days on the planet? Because things just get more screwed up and more tense and wars and rumors of wars, all these things that could possibly signal the end. But he says, "Know this, then the last days perilous times will come." Why will they be perilous? Verse 2, "For men will be lovers of themselves." And when has that been more true than now? It's not about you, it's about me. Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form, and look at this phrase, having a form of godliness but denying its power. So you can even have a, after that list, you can have a form of godliness, but you deny its power. It doesn't come from God. It's just going through some motions. And on this one, he says, and from such people turn away, get away from those people. Now again, speaking to Timothy. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. And then this is a fascinating phrase about these particular kind of women, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, this is not limited to women, but think about this. If you are always learning, you just keep learning. And then if you're always studying the scriptures, you study, but you never come to the knowledge of the truth, something is not working. Because if you study the scriptures and the Holy Spirit lives in you, then you're going to come to the knowledge of the truth. You're going to get it at some point. Now, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Satan, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all as theirs also was. So he says, this is one side of the ledger. Now here's the other one. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, what I've taught you, manner of life, so not just what I've said, but the way I've lived, my purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, what happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. So he says to Timothy, you have listened and watched my life. You know what I have done, what I'm about, and what works. Doctrine, so the right teaching, manner of life, how I actually lived, purpose, determination, where I'm headed, my faith, long suffering, don't give up, hang in there even in the midst of long suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, you hang in there no matter what. And that's the example that Paul had given to Timothy. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, not everybody gets this, and I get that. If you grew up in an even halfway godly home, where there was at least an attempt, someone made an attempt to teach you the scriptures and let you know not just right from wrong, but righteousness and holiness from sin and depravity and where your life could go, then you are crazy blessed. And Timothy was one of these kids who from a child had been taught the Holy Scriptures. Continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. So you know where you got it. It's good stuff. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to what? Make you wise for salvation. Now this is where this starts. What can the Holy Scriptures do? What is part of what they can do? The first thing kind of that needs to happen. They make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Straight up, no backing off of this, not believing I think I can in the world's, you know, I'm a good person, all that. The only salvation in the Bible is faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That's it. And so Paul reminds Timothy, you know that. People say, well, I read the Old Testament. I don't see Jesus in the Old Testament. The whole Old Testament points to Jesus coming and that the Messiah would come, that he would suffer and die. Born of a virgin, it says that. Die, suffer, be buried, raised from the dead. It says he's coming. And then the whole New Testament points back to that event and points to how we should live our life and then what's going to happen. And then this famous verse, they're all famous, but a lot of people seem to know this one. 2 Timothy 3:16. And Paul makes this statement to Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And this word literally means divinely breathed in. God breathed. And again, people say, well, I just don't think that's possible. If you can get your head around God taking a bunch of mud and forming a man, building a man out of dirt, and you say, well, how do you know it's out of dirt? Well, just let somebody die and leave him out for a while. You're going to have a pile of dirt, a pile of dust pretty quick. Some bones, you even give those long enough, you can get rid of the bones. I mean, we are made from dust. So you say, well, I believe God created everything and made man. Then if God can build a man and the intricacies of a man out of mud and breathe into him life and he comes to life, then why cannot God breathe through a man the scriptures and say, look, say this, write this, this is very important, and trust that that guy can deliver the message. Now, it's not the same category, so pay really close attention to what I'm saying. You should stop listening to preachers. I know a lot of you are waiting for me to say that. You say, well, why do we listen to preachers? I'd be better off just reading my Bible and staying home. God gives people insight, and sometimes people will come in and say, man, I felt you're preaching right at me. How is that possible? There are times in a sermon, well, I will say things that I have never thought in my entire life. They will come out of my mouth. I'll say, and I go, even I'm like, wow, where did that come from? What was that about? I'll say it, and then somebody later, either that's been in the room or hear the message, radio or podcast, whatever, come and go, one day you mentioned this specifically, a city. One day I said the word Mahaya, and somebody went, oh my gosh, that triggered something in them. You say, well, how's that possible? Because that's how he works. And it's not just in me. God can do the same thing through you. And in a conversation, you say something. You don't know where it came from. Just get out of the way and let him live. Let him speak. You say, so you think God's speaking through me? He better be sooner or later or we're in trouble. So why do you listen to certain people? Because you trust, you know, and he's already given the example that Timothy has been raised in a home and he has been taught things. You have to be taught by somebody. It's a lot easier than getting it by yourself. So here we are all in the process of learning. I'm in the process of learning. You're in the process of learning. And where this starts is this wise for salvation through faith was in Christ Jesus. And then he jumps in. All scripture is God breathed, given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And let's go through these words one at a time. Or it's advantageous, also can mean helpful or serviceable. So this word profitable, it has some advantage. It's profitable for doctrine. What is doctrine? Instruction, the function or the information, doctrine, learning, teaching. So facts. Simple facts. Now, here's my problem with how some people do the Bible. They go to the Bible, maybe don't even pray before they go to the Bible, and they are just take a scholarly approach and just chop the frog up till you can't tell it's a frog anymore. And you say, well, I'm learning all these facts. I can tell you what all the Greek words are, and I can tell you all the history behind it. I can give you all the intellectual components of it. It's not just about that. And some churches fill buildings with people and they got professors and teachers and they are just dissecting the Bible, chopping it up in little pieces and, you know, analyzing it to literally to death. And the question is not, do you know every little nuance? Is it breathing through you? Are you living the scriptures? It's profitable for doctrine. Yes, that's part of it. But look what else it says. For reproof. And this word reproof means convict, convince, tell a fault, rebuke, reprove. So it also has to be used. You say, well, I know technically what it means. You have to know when the Bible is coming at you for reproof. When you open your Bible and you read it and the Holy Spirit says you're out of line or you hear someone speak. And this is why people don't like to hear preachers because sometimes they say things, go, oh, that hurt. I got hit. Because it was personal, because God is surgically coming after part of your life, your heart, saying, this can't stay. And you say, well, yes, it can. I'm going to protect this and go on living. And he says, okay, I get that. You can do that. But what happens? Allowed to kind of boil inside of you and you let that fester and stay. You don't let God get it out of your heart and your life. There's consequence. Yes, you can do whatever you want to do, but there is consequence. So profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. And this is an interesting word. It literally means a straightening up again, that is figuratively rectification. It comes from a word that means education or training by implication, disciplinary correction, chastening, chastisement, instruction, or nurture. But I love this little, a straightening up again. Sometimes we just get a little off track and he says, hey, straighten up. We literally use that phrase. Snap back. You know, it's not just you're completely wrong. You just need to straighten up. For correction, then for instruction. And this word comes from a word that means to convict as well, convince, tell a fault, rebuke, or reprove. So a lot of these are getting us back on the right track. If you will notice, if you are a consistent, not just student of the Bible, but if you spend time in the scriptures and then you don't, it is very fascinating the parallels that come from leaving your study of the scriptures and spending time in God's word and watching what happens in your life. You get away from the scriptures, your life starts to change. People say, well, I missed church one Sunday, and then I missed it again, and then I missed it again. Say, well, I didn't think it was about going to church. You are not supposed to make it by yourself. It's an us deal. It's we. It's together. And there are certain things without somebody confronting you, you know, even quoting a verse to you or saying, look, dude, you're out of line. You need to straighten up. You say, well, I don't want anybody telling me that. Yes, you do. I need that. And I have people in my life that can speak to that and say, not appropriate. And you need people like that. All scripture given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in what? Righteousness, how to live a godly life. Now, there are times when I say, if we're honest, and maybe you would go as far to say this, I really am not interested in righteousness. Because if you're kind of got a sin, a good sin going, how many got a really good sin going right now? No show of hands on that. You need somebody somewhere along the way calling you out saying, look, this is not appropriate. There is consequence to this. And you say, well, I'm not interested in living a righteous life because your idea of a righteous life means I need to give up the stuff I like. Okay, here's how it works. People think, well, I'm doing what I want to do. Nothing's happening. That's where you're mistaken. All the time you're doing what you want to do or I'm doing what I want to do and there doesn't seem to be any consequence, part of the consequence is just that we're not going anywhere, we're not doing anything, we're not engaged, we're not moving, we're not chasing after God, so it's just laying on your butt dead time till God says, okay, well, you don't get it, so I'm going to let something happen. You go, wow, why did God do that? God didn't do that. But in a way, he did because he loves you enough to let the consequence of your sin come to fruition. And then you have to go, wow, that didn't work out so well. How much consequence do we have to deal with before we get to the next sin and go, I'll pass? The devil offers you some new thing. You go, look, dude, I played your game before. What happened in Vegas didn't stay in Vegas. I'm out. I'm not doing your Vegas anymore, right? You can either buy the bull or get in your Bible. And the world is selling a lot of bull. And a lot of people buy bull. But they're not happy with their purchase. The devil, hell, is peddling its stuff. And it turns out God is offering up gifts. Eternal life, free. Abundant life, free. You say, but I'm not going to have any fun. You know what? Just give it a shot. What if you actually tried it God's way? You say, but you already told us earlier there's going to be persecution. You got persecution your way. You do something stupid and you lose your job. I'd say that's suffering for doing the wrong thing. At least suffer for doing the right thing for a change. What if I told you that in this package deal of life and abundant life, there is genuine joy, genuine peace. All the stuff, the love that you have been missing from God, for yourself, for other people, that you really had real love, a real life. Am I happy all the time? Do I have pressures? Yes. But do I have joy? Absolutely. I didn't have joy for 20-something years of my life because I couldn't make sense of it. I had people teaching me the facts, but they didn't teach me how to live. So I had a lot of information that I didn't know how to turn into application that turned into transformation and overcame, as I say, my constipation. So what's the point? Where does this go? Reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that what? The man of God may be complete, everything working, thoroughly equipped for every good work, ready to go, up and running, straightened up. You know, you say, well, is that possible? It's possible. You don't always have to be screwed up with something. We almost think, well, I got a sin quota and my numbers are down. I got to do something stupid today. You don't have to do anything stupid today. Choose to live a godly life, walk with God. Does that mean you're going to be tempted? Yes, you do not have to succumb to temptation. I know this is a crazy thought. If you knew, if you were going to line up in a race and the gun was about to go off and the whole time you're lined up there ready to go, your thought was, I got to figure out some way to sabotage this race so I don't win. You're not a runner, you're a loser. The gun hasn't even gone off. What if you lined up on the line, the gun's about to go off, and your goal was to not just finish the race, but possibly win the race? You run differently. So wake up tomorrow and say, you know what? I think I'll win today. Does that mean you're going to get hit? Yes, but you make choices. If you've been making a choice your whole life to ignore the scripture, ignore the Holy Spirit, do what you want to do, of course you're going to land on your butt and end up at the end of the day a complete failure. What if you said yes and started winning? All right, for the sake of time, let me read you just a few more verses and we'll shut it down. Let's just read one more. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Some of you got this memorized. Some of you have never heard this in your life, but here we go. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God, the scriptures, is living and powerful. Now, you say, well, I haven't experienced that. Let me give you just a simple suggestion. Before you sit down and read the Bible again, close it and say, Dear God, I do not just want to read this book for information. I need to open a book and it be living and powerful. I need change in my mind, in my heart, in my life. So I'm telling you right up front, I'm asking you to speak to me through your word, and I'm asking you to show me how to apply what I discover to change my life. And actually do what it says, not just walk away going, oh, wow, that was really interesting. I learned something new. If you learn something new, you do something new. It's not just in your head. The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. These are things we don't even see. You can't see soul and spirit. But the word of God literally goes in surgically. We've got surgeons in this church and they'll tell you a scalpel, they can go in, cut somebody and go down. And it goes on to say here, soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, literally separate joints from marrow. And it's gotten even smaller than that. This is the descriptor they use here. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So it is living and powerful. And even if you've got something way deep down inside that literally needs some separation from your soul and your spirit, the scriptures can get down in there and do that kind of surgery and show you what's going on. And again, you say, well, I don't want to know what's going on. I want to live the way I want to live. Then nothing is probably going to change until God allows the consequences of those choices to blow up in your life, where then you are interested in finding out how in the world it got this way.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. We get it and want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. Give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellis.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall so others can pray for you as well. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellis.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
So when you read the scriptures, you say, God, I got problems. You got to help me. I'll listen to other people, but I need to have some personal time with you. I need this to be a living, powerful, it's not a good analogy maybe, but it's kind of like a chainsaw. If you hack a tree with a chainsaw, it's going to take you a long time to chop it down. But if you crank the chainsaw up, it is living and powerful, and it will cut through a tree. The scripture has ability to cut through your crap and answer your questions. And if you will submit to God and what he's trying to teach you and tell you, your life can change.
And you're burning up the only life you're going to get, and you're affecting other people around you. And you say, well, I'm not hurting anyone. If you're not in the game, you're hurting all the people that you're not impacting because you're not in the game. Your life isn't changing, and neither is theirs. Don't buy the bull. Get in the Bible and give it a shot.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. So give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Or through our website, richardellis.com, by sending an email to us so we can stay connected with you. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or through the website, richardellis.com. Your story needs to be heard, and we're listening, caring, and encouraged. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellis.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support to join us on our mission to reach the planet. We can't do it alone and need your help on this mission. RichardEllis.com. So till next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.